Hey guys, before we get into today's episode, there are a couple of things I just wanted to let you know. Full disclaimer, I was a little under the weather when we shot this, so I might sound a little congested. Sorry about that, but we still gave you some quality content. I know you're going to love it. Before you even listen, just go stop, head over to wherever you're streaming or listening to this, like it, leave a comment, leave a review, give us 5 stars, 1 star, like whatever. Let us know how we're doing. If you have questions, shoot them to us. We love to interact with you guys. Without further ado, we'll head into the episode. Hope you enjoy communicating with Liz Dubé.
Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome back to the Not So Bad Bachelor Pad. Joining me today is Liz Dubé, and I must say, I'm quite excited for today's episode. Liz, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a sex and relationship therapist, and I also do coaching. And I have an online coaching program for women who are struggling with sexual desire and want to reignite that or want to feel sexually empowered. But I treat men, women, couples on anything sex related. My focus every day is about sex and intimacy, educating people, helping people work through struggles. And it's great to be able to love what you do and talk about something so fun and provocative. Oh, and my private practice is in Long Beach, California. So for all of those locals, oh, LBC in the
Listen,
house.
if you're a local, there's no reason you shouldn't be working with Liz right now. Like, I mean, right this second, like knocking on the door. But today, guys, like she said, we're gonna be talking about sex. I'm not gonna clean it up. I'm not gonna water it down. We're gonna talk about what I think everybody should be talking about, and that's that it's okay that we're talking about it.
Yes. Yeah. Don't water. I'm so excited. So I get to say naughty words. It's a mature audience's only forecast for today.
This is true. Or hey, if you think your children need to hear this, hey, they're your kids. Go crazy.
Yeah. And you know, you probably would be good because then you get pulled out of the mix and all your discomfort with it is like, then they'll get accurate information and not just your fear of their pregnancy or them getting an STI.
So for me, the sex talk was, hey, you bring home a kid, I'm cutting it off. That's what my mom did.
I've
She's
heard that
like,
so many times.
so I was like, hey, I mean, like that was good enough. It's abstinence. I never brought home a kid. I have all my body parts, so I guess it was kind of effective.
Well, it's effective in the sense of those terms, but is it effective in terms of you being able to create and maintain a satisfying sexual relationship?
So often, especially in our society, parents or schools or like religions, they kind of like automatically go to abstinence, but that leaves a lot of room for ignorance. You know, if they say ignorance is bliss. So that's one of the reasons I like started the show where I like talking about sex is I want future generations or just people in general to be educated, not for just health and safety reasons, but it should be pleasurable.
Yeah, I mean, it is pleasurable. And then people go, oh shit, oh my God, this feels way better. My parents have been lying. Why didn't they tell me the truth?
They're like, listen, I trade going to like Six Flags if I could do this all day, you know?
That's why kids are sitting at home on their phones masturbating all day.
We all have a good wank every now and then. But no, so for me, I think, and for a lot of other like kids growing up too, sex was, or like even just masturbation was, it was like taboo. Like everybody's like, you shouldn't do it, or like you had to sneak and do it, you
Or
know.
if someone's going to tease you, you feel embarrassed, you feel guilt, you're
Right.
shamed. And the more that we can normalize that, then, I mean, I'm trying to heal the world one bedroom at a time.
Listen, love that. Love that. Listen, your bedroom's supposed to be your kingdom, like your safe space. So if you're afraid to whip it out in your bedroom, then where can you explore yourself?
Love that.
It's true. I mean, you can't do it in the middle of the street. I mean, you can't do it at function. So the only other place is your private room.
Well, I hear lots of stories. People find lots of places, my friend.
You know what?
It's not limited.
So I've worked in like the nightlife for quite some time now, and the stories that I can tell. So I agree, you're right. It's not limited to your partner. There are some wild places that people definitely try to spice it up.
Yeah, everybody's got lots of different fantasies, and many people's fantasies fall along the line of exhibitionism and voyeurism. And that means getting out of the safety of your home.
That's true. And it's so often it's because we're told not to do it that I feel like we like this experiences. When they say don't press the red button, you instinctively want to.
Oh, yeah.
Grab that red button and just keep pulling it over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like what you resist persists. So if you've got a kink, if you've got a fantasy, if you have a fetish that you are trying to hold back and get rid of, that's a problem. It's just going to keep getting bigger and start consuming you. And you got to lean into it and find healthy ways to be able to get your erotic desires fulfilled. Healthy, consensual ways.
Yeah. But I'm going to take a quick step back. How did you decide, or when did you first know you wanted to get into this sexual space?
Well, you know, when I was in high school, I used to listen to Dr. Ruth on the radio.
Yeah.
I still remember it was like 9 o'clock at night. I'd be working, cleaning up at my job and listening to her on the radio thinking this is the best job in the world, fantasizing about like, oh, what would it be like to do that? But before that, even I grew up with a mom who was really progressive. She was totally open and comfortable talking about sex and sexuality. And so that made me open. And that gave me opportunities to be able to share what the accurate information that I had with friends. And then I got older and friends got partners and they came to me with questions and I would give them the lowdown of the accurate information. And so I kind of got assigned the unofficial sex therapist and I studied psychology in college. At that point, I was like, how do think I want to be a sex therapist. It's going to be like a bunch of weirdos or like, I don't know. I had this, you know, immature idea of what it looked like. And, and so once I got older, I decided, you know what, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. That it just continued to come up. It was a topic that I could not get enough information about. I love making people laugh. I like making people uncomfortable. I also like helping them heal and making them comfortable. And so all of those, it was like the perfect recipe for me and finding like joy in my life. So there you have it.
And I can see that. I often say like the biggest growth happens when we're uncomfortable. So on my like sexual awakening, there were a lot of uncomfortable and awkward stops and phases, but they led me to really high peaks, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, at least from the male perspective, I say that sex is for us, but it's not about us. I feel like so often that especially like in like porn, like this exhibitionist porn, it's very like male centered.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like kind of all about like women too at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's almost like the empowerment and the disempowerment of women all at the same time.
Yeah. And it sets up these, so for me, what I say, the first time, I think, like we talked about the taboo or like the uncertainty around masturbating, I feel like there's that same cloud around, just sex as well. Like we're taught abstinence, but then the first time we perform or like whenever we perform with a partner, we're supposed to be these, like a professional at it and just give pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, how am I supposed to, if I don't know what feels good for me, how am I supposed to know it feels good for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then do that adequately.
Yeah, and especially if you're drawn to the opposite sex. If you're heterosexual and you're trying to guess what it feels like as a woman, what a woman wants sexually,
Yeah.
even so much harder.
You don't know anything. It's like lifting up the hood of a car for the first time. You're like, you have no idea what anything is or where it goes.
Yeah.
Who says otherwise? I'm on, like, there's a very small population of you who might, but I'm going to call bullshit. Far as like the sex ed that we had in school, I was like, I don't think they showed the guy, like the boys, pictures of the vagina. Unless it had like, it was like the outside that was like disease ridden.
And there's no, like, is there even mention of the clitoris? Is
No.
there an indication of what the clitoris is for? It's all about procreation. It's all about STIs.
Right.
There's nothing about pleasure and how to explore the body and how women need more outer course, more foreplay than men typically do to be able to get to the state of arousal that to where they'd be equally as satisfied as a man at climax. Where's that information?
And they don't even like the same with like the penis, they don't do that. Or even more importantly, like this discovery hit me maybe halfway through college, is consent.
Ah.
Like for me, like consent is super pleasurable in my opinion. It just makes everybody feel comfortable. It makes your partner feel heard, and then you know that you're wanted at the same time. So I was like, why are we not teaching this? And then you wonder why all these like universities are having trouble with adults or, like pregnancy or even STIs. It's because you do a subpar job at being half-assed with your sex education.
And so then you get your, where do you get your information? Hollywood, pornography, and your friends that are just as clueless as you.
Right. And it's not even that. I was like, nowhere, even if you are looking at pornography, I was like, there's not even like really consent in porn.
Yeah, I mean that we've been kind of taught that asking for consent is not very sexy. It's awkward, it's weird. And yet that is the adult thing to do.
Exactly. It's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, where did these problems arise? For those of us who are in a more progressive space or who have had the opportunity to explore, we ask the hard questions. We like to be uncomfortable because it gives us a sense of security knowing that we're informed and we can prepare ourselves and our partners.
Yeah, but that takes a lot of internal comfort. It takes a lot of internal strength to feel like I can be okay asking these questions. It's a really vulnerable place to be in to ask a person for consent, to ask them questions about what do you like, because there's a societal idea is that we're supposed to know what people want. And if we don't, that makes us a bad lover. And if we ask those questions, maybe the partner will laugh at us or shame us or judge us. And so then we hold back in silence for fear of that rejection.
You said that rejection is at the core of a lot of that, because no matter what the reason we're being rejected, even if it's not necessarily because our partner or the person that we're interested in is turned off, but maybe because of some other reason, we take it personal, we shut down. So they think if they can avoid this step of asking the question and just doing that, they are kind of overriding that uncomfortability or rejection. When in all reality, you're either hurting the person or just really
Self.
missing the base.
Yeah,
Like,
because you're limiting your pleasure. You could
yes.
intensify your pleasure. You could have a much better sexual experience if you know what they want and they know what you want.
And that's why, for me, when I have people with new partners, or when I'm with a new partner, one of my favorite things to do, if this is a regular partner that we're going to habitually see, because we've been there where you have partners that are just one-time partners and like you'll never see again, and then sometimes you're a bit more of a selfish lover. But when you have regular partners who you're like committed to or serious about, I usually go for the like mutual masturbation thing simply because I like to do cookie cutter sex.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is like, it's the same shape for every partner because that does not work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, what worked for your first partner might not work for your second partner. Maybe they need a little bit more of outer stimulation, you know,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
they need more foreplay from you.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they don't like, you know, they don't have the same kinks you do. You need to kind of see how they experience pleasure. That way, when you perform with them, not just going through the motions, you feel bad. Have a nice partner who won't say anything and just like, will go along with it, even though they're not experiencing the pleasure you are.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was like, that's just the biggest crime.
Them withholding that information or you not asking the questions?
I think there's even a third component to that. I think it's both, but there's enough room for everybody to orgasm and like beautifully. So the fact that not even concerned about your partner's like well-being in that sense, you know, you just to, like I said, ignorance is bliss, to be unaware of the fact that everything you do is not like God's gift. You're not like, yeah. It's just radiating, you know, pleasure.
Yeah. I love it when guys come to me and they say, well, I haven't gotten any complaints. Sorry. That's not saying much. Yeah. Are you asking the question?
I think it'd be better if they said, there's no shortage of like compliments or, you know, people are raving about it. That's a lot different statement than I haven't gotten any complaints.
Yeah, because people don't tend to be transparent about what they want or what they're not liking unless we encourage that. And I think that those conversations need to happen before we get naked. Those conversations need to happen when you start talking about, hey, how would you like to have sex tonight? What are you into? How do you like to be touched? Do you have any kinks that you like to play around with? Do you like it sensual? Do you like it tactile? Do you like it hard? Do you like it soft? Ask those specific questions in an open, non-judgmental, curious, and compassionate way, and you're going to have a much more satisfying and erotic experience, and you're not going to be just going in and playing the guessing game. And then if that partner is a good partner, in my opinion, they will mirror your behavior and they'll start asking you questions. Well, tell me, what do you like? Tell me how you like to be touched. And 100%. Yeah. And then you get that flow of communication. That right there in itself is an erotic experience, having that conversation and playing around with what fantasies you'd like to share, and you start to test the openness of that partner. And that right there is the emotional, mental foreplay that helps to open up the doors to a safe and satisfying sexual experience.
I was just about to say, like, to me, like, that is the foreplay, getting to know your partner's body, like what, how they respond, what they're into, what they like done. Because when they're completely open and vulnerable with you, and you're completely open and vulnerable, like, it's like you guys just like melt together. And then you're right. Like, there's just so much intensity and passion, mm-hmm. that you could potentially have a whole revelation of sorts.
Yeah. If you make a partner feel safe and desired in their authentic skin, they are going to be much more open to fulfilling your erotic desires.
That doesn't just go for men making the women feel like open and like heard, but also vice versa. I think that communication piece is huge, because if you communicate to me that I'm not going to use the word shortcoming, but there's an area where there's room for improvement or like more satisfaction, love that, because we tend to be so, or people think of us so goal oriented. I was like, if we think we just have one mission and then we just do that one thing, and that's where it's that common sense of I've been gotten into complaints is because you think you just have one job or like you just have to focus on one area. I was like, that's not the case. I was like, it's a foreplay. That counts. It's like, that's where it starts. It's that's sex too. That starts right there. And then maybe a little bit of dirty talk, you know, then warming up both, like setting an atmosphere, then physicality. Like there are so many steps, like there are so many side missions or like other components to the mission that aren't always talked about in the male community. And then like, let's leaving so much room for a miss, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I tell guys every day, you can do so much more with your hands and your mouth than you can do with your dick. And you put all of this pressure on your dick to perform and to make that the main part of the experience. When I would say when your partner is a woman, she's more likely going to enjoy the outer course, and you know, ultimately she's going to enjoy intercourse so much more if you spend a lot of time on the outer course.
Right.
Because then she, you know, just like for you as a, just like for men, that sex is more pleasurable, touching your penis is more pleasurable when you've got a really hard dick. When you have a nice erection, it's going to feel so much more. Same thing for women. If the blood is fully flowing in our vulvas, we are going to be much more aroused and enjoying intercourse. But so many guys rush into intercourse.
Yeah.
And then women, we don't really enjoy it unless that blood is flowing and unless we have our erection.
Exactly. Hey, Liz, I love you because you used like one of my favorite words that so many people don't know or use. That's vulva. I fucking love vulvas.
Ah, vulva. Quit calling it a vagina. It's a, yeah. They're vulvas. And then the vagina is the hole, people. Little, exactly. Little, you know, like pussy 101 here.
Like I can't lie. It hasn't even been 2 solid years since I even discovered what the vulva was. So I can't act like, oh yes, I've been an aficionado of sorts.
Yes. Well, yeah, Joshua, it's you're okay a young not guy. To know things.
We're you're always a young learning. But that's like part of the appeal. Like, learn your partner's body. Because there are multiple sides of the penis too, and some have more sensitive and pleasurable areas than others.
Yes.
So I was like,
and guys are different.
The more you can describe or like let your partner know what you're into, once again, the more room you're opening up for pleasure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's not act like guys are simple. There's a stereotype that guys are so simple and they're the same and they like everything the same. And that's just not true. But there are the stereotypes of like certain things that guys like that is more common that guys like. But in terms of even the penises, like there's different guys like have greater sensitivity on different parts of their penis. So get curious with your partner and see how do they like to be touched? Where do they like to be touched? Where are they most sensitive?
That is one thing I love recommending to some of the guys I work with is explore more. There's this really big stigma that if you get anywhere near like the anus, like for the butt, that it gets a little like homophobic, guys become like a little homophobic. And I'm just like, but why? Like,
yeah, it's part such of bullshit. Your body.
Like, yeah, we all have one. But for us, I was like, there are some treasure chests in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's the craziest thing that guys are limiting their sexual pleasure to just their penis and balls.
Yeah.
That explore all areas, and the butt is a great erogenous zone, and lots of guys like to be stimulated that are not at all even remotely on the spectrum towards being gay. that gay is about your relationship with the same sex, your love for intimacy with the same sex. It's not about whether you want your anus stimulated or not. That's just crazy business. And so if you haven't tried it, I think you might like it.
And I wouldn't even like the first time that I tried it, it wasn't even my suggestion. It was like, I like to please my partner. My partner was like, I like to do this. She's like, I like to put a finger up there sometimes. And I'm like, I mean, if it makes you happy, I guess. I won't lie to you. Like, I was really fucking nervous at first, especially since the fact she had acrylics. I was like, oh gosh. Like, but after, like, once we were in the moment, I was like, oh wow. Like, it was a whole new experience I'd never had. And just the feeling, I think it was like one of the first time I was speechless. And you guys know I run my mouth all the time. Like, I'm constantly talking. Whether it's clean, factual, dirty, like, I'm always saying some shit. Mm-hmm. So the fact that made me speechless, I was like, why are we not exploring more? Like, you're right. Why are we limiting ourselves?
Yeah.
So now I say every time, even to this day, whenever I'm either pleasuring myself or my partner, I like to try new things because you never know what new area you'll find that stimulates you in a way that you didn't know yesterday.
Yeah, don't limit yourself. Get curious. Get curious with your partner. Get curious with yourself. And there may be parts of your body that you've never even considered to be sexual. And you end up finding out that that is actually a really intense erogenous zone. So by all means, start to smell the flowers and taste the buds.
They say curiosity killed the cat, but in this case, I don't think that's true.
Well, cats aren't very smart. They have really small brains. So,
well, there you go. Maybe it's time to like kill the cat. You know, like blow its mind. Its tiny little mind. I think that we sabotage ourselves sexually sometimes.
Well, I don't know. I think it's just a lack of information. I think that men and women do stuff all day long that they don't realize is limiting their sexual satisfaction or their sex lives in general. I'm actually doing a webinar on how women sabotage their sex lives. But when I thought about this topic for you, I was like, oh, I need to talk about this for both genders. And so I've broken it down into five areas of how people sabotage their sex lives. And I think number one is not prioritizing sex. And now you would think that men always make sex a priority because stereotypically guys are hornier, yada, yada, yada. But I look at it differently in the sense of maybe men prioritize sex, but do they prioritize the sexual connection? And I think that's where they sabotage their sex lives is women don't prioritize it in the way of like they're busy working, dealing with kids, just making like all the sacrifice, they're focused on sacrifice and they don't leave a lot for pleasure. Whereas I think men just don't prioritize romance or making time for quality sex. And then I think the second thing that comes to mind is that people have quickies too often. I think quickies are great occasionally, but if you're in a long-term relationship and you get into the habit of having quickies, you make sex less desirable. And so then if sex is less desirable, then your partner isn't going to crave it as much. And then it's going to be harder to get your partner enrolled into having sex with you when you're feeling horny and you're wanting to connect with them in this way.
Right.
Then the third thing I was thinking is that one of the big things is that people not being present or engaged during sex. Sex is so much about connection. If you're not going to feel connected with your partner, you might as well just go masturbate. And then you don't have to worry about pleasing anybody else. You can just get your thing, you know, you can get your rocks off and then be done. And it doesn't require a lot of work. And so if you're going to be with someone, connect with them. But I think women, a lot of times we get caught up in our heads. You know, we're caught up in the to-do list and the things that we need to do. And so then we're not engaged or present with our partners. And then men, I think, can get into porn mode where they're fantasizing and then they go off and their partners are like, hey, where are you? Like, you're not even with me in this. And not that I'm saying there's a problem with going in and out of fantasy when you're with your partner, but I just don't want you going into fantasy the whole time or half the time, like too much to where you're completely disengaged. Because like I said, sex is so much about connection. And then I think another thing is that women tend to say no too quickly. So if they're thinking, well, you know, I'm not horny, I'm not feeling aroused just yet. So, you know, when their partner initiates, they say no. And then I think that men actually jump into having intercourse too quickly, which is actually like fulfilling this problematic cycle within the heterosexual relationship, is that women are crockpots, men are like microwaves. And men need to get the message that women need to get warmed up. And now part of the job is for us as women to warm ourselves up mentally, but then the men need to take more time and slow down and join with us in the outer course so that we can be at that fully aroused state. And so that our vulvas are hot and heavy, just like your hard penis is hot and heavy. But if you're jumping into intercourse too quickly, then we're going to be in the sense of like, well, I'm not horny, so I don't think I should say yes. And so they end up saying no more often, because that's the dynamic. And then the last thing is I think that women often wait to feel horny, that they're waiting for spontaneous sex. They're like, well, I'm not going to initiate because I'm not feeling horny. And I'm always encouraging women, you've got to be doing things to fuel your mental and physical desire, because spontaneous desire is really a rare thing within long-term relationships. And for men, I'd say waiting until too late in the day is one of the problems, that they wait until all the end of the day, and then their partner's tired, exhausted, and she's not really that open to having sex. And then he doesn't necessarily have the energy for a quality experience. So take my advice, people, quit doing these five things.
And I love that you broke it down, because it's so easy to digest and picture each moment where all five of these things are happening. So you know where you need to work on, what you need to work on, and where you have to slow down or be more present. Mm-hmm. But going back to your points 2 and 3 of like being present and and like you mentioned porn mode, mm-hmm. I think sometimes guys do that to slow down. Or we maybe not necessarily go to porn, but we aren't as present, because we think, at least for me, like in my early days, I was like, if I'm too focused, if I get too passionate, if I'm too hot right now.
Yes. Yeah.
I was like.
That old myth of like, think about baseball so you don't come too quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a total fallacy. That's like wrong information that does not help you last longer.
Right. But all it does is like serve to widen the disconnect between you and your partner.
Yeah. And the disconnect from your body, because if you're thinking about baseball, what's happening with your dick, your balls, your pelvic area, your thighs, you don't even know what your level of arousal is, because you've totally switched your mindset.
Mm-hmm. Now, and like you said, like you said, being present, that connection with your partner, I was like, we so often, like, guys are afraid of that because we think that it's going to be what shortens our time, but really it can actually expand the amount of time that we're active, or that we can use our, you know, our penis, that we can prolong sex. Because at least for me, I've noticed in a couple of cases that it could also help reduce your refractory period. Meaning that, like, sure, you might reach your climax faster, but because you're still in such a stimulated state, there are other, like you said, you shouldn't rely solely on your penis in the first place, do that outer play. So if you realize that you might need a break from using it, that's a great time to find other ways to stimulate your partner to keep them engaged. That way, when you can reproduce another erection, you're good to go again. Or
exactly.
Do it multiple times throughout the night, you know, like spontaneously. Like you hear about people going for rounds and rounds. It's because they're so in that moment, they're so drawn and captivated by their partners that their body's responding to that.
Sure, sure. I think that being engaged helps you to stay more connected with your body so that you have greater control of whether or not you need to slow down and decrease your arousal and help reduce how quickly you ejaculate. But then also, if you do end up orgasming by staying engaged, using your hands and your mouth to continue pleasuring your partner and staying focused on what it is that turns you on, does help for guys who have a shorter refractory period, meaning the time in between the time you came and when you can get another erection. A lot of young guys can do this in 15 minutes. As you get older, the gap gets bigger. For some guys, it's a shorter period of time. And so imagine 15 minutes of making out, massaging your partner. And if you're focused on things that turn you on, you're going to get that erection again. If you're physically capable, if you're in good shape, then you get to go another round. How awesome. Versus exactly. If you get into your head of like, oh, dang, I came too quickly. And now you're thinking about how you feel inadequate. You're totally disconnecting from your partner. Then your partner's feeling kind of shitty because now it's like now they have to feel bad for you, or, you know, it's a whole disconnect and then everything gets shut down. Why not keep sex? Shouldn't have to end because you lost your erection. Sex gets to end when you decide that you're tired, that you're done, that you want to take a rest.
Yeah. One question and one myth I would love to talk to you about.
Okay.
And that question is, do you think people play follow the leader when it comes to sex or their pleasure?
I think that that's a very common thing. I think particularly women tend to follow the lead when they have a male partner. Although I think it's across the lines, even with same-sex partners. And I think as it relates to the physical piece. And I think that people also follow their partners depending upon the way that they show up emotionally. So if a partner shows up where they're like cocky or insecure or judgmental, then we adjust accordingly. It's just like in any conversation. If you're talking with someone who's got their chest puffed up and they're all cocky, then you're going to either disengage or you're going to get cocky with them. So you may follow or you may get smaller. And if they're feeling really anxious, then you're going to be like, oh, I want to like, okay, they're uncomfortable. I feel bad for them. So I don't want to do anything out of the ordinary, anything. I don't want to share my kinks because it'll make them feel even more uncomfortable. So if you can be open and curious and non-judgmental, then your partner is much more likely to be able to be open, curious, and non-judgmental. But that's where I would think that people will definitely follow, because you're going to go with what feels safe. And sex and intimacy, it's a really vulnerable place for couples to be.
It is. And people think that the physical relationship isn't as important as the emotional relationship. But I think one's not more important than the other. I think they're pretty equal because they're both important to sustain a healthy relationship.
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, it's like sex isn't a big deal until it is.
Yeah.
Until things are lacking, until you're feeling desperate for affection, physical touch, satisfaction, then that's when you go, oh, wow, this is a much bigger deal than it was in a relationship where things felt fine.
Myth that I wanted to address. Do you think that it's true that, true, but do you think that guys always take the lead when it comes to the physicality aspect of sex.
I mean, I think that guys more often take the lead, and then of course it's gonna vary across partner to partner. Sometimes you're gonna get women that are more dominating, that are more confident in taking the lead. Sometimes you're gonna get guys that really want to submit and would like to be with a partner that is more dominating. And sometimes you're gonna get people with differing levels of experience. And so sometimes the person with less experience will defer to the person who has more experience. And right. If the guy is the one that has less experience, then he's gonna defer to that partner. Or maybe he'll defer to the female partner if she's more communicative and assertive. So then he follows her lead of her expression of what she wants and desires and goes from there.
And it keeps coming back to this, guys. You got to pay attention. You got to communicate your needs and desires. It's nothing but benefits you. And also, for me, I know one of the reasons I like to be dominated sometimes is I get tired of always being the one making the decisions, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, shoot, tell me what you want. That's less thinking I have to do. I don't have to try to create this like abstract set of plays to now give you pleasure. Also take control. If I'm not giving you the pleasure you want after I've consented,
let me know.
Take it. You know, there's nothing wrong with you like flipping the guy over, or like you taking control and be like, hey, you're not doing anything wrong, but let me show you what I mean.
Yes.
Most 10 out of 9 times, the guy will probably think like, whoa, fuck, like this is sexy as hell.
Yes.
And now like I know what I need to do when I'm with you next time.
Yes. And you know, it feels so good to be with a partner that is taking what they want, because then you feel desired.
Yes.
And everybody wants to feel desired. One of the biggest turnoffs for people is when you're having sex with someone and you say, what do you want? And they're like, I don't know, this is fine. It's like, versus when a person says, ooh, I like this, do more of this. Then you've got something to work with. Then you get to be able to fulfill that person's desires. And then you can feel desired. And back to this, it is about communication. My partner's going to love this because he always says, if you don't ask, you don't get. And it's exactly true in everything in life. If you don't ask, you don't get.
It always reminds me of like, guys, I'm bringing my mom to this now.
She
just recently started doing this. but when you, it feels like anytime I ask a woman, like, hey, where do you want to go to eat? They're like, I don't know. Like, you decide or you pick a spot. And I was like, I can only pick so many spots. Or I was like, I can pick a spot, but it's like, is that really what you want? Will that really satisfy you? I was like, no. If you do that same approach in the bedroom of just, whatever you want, A, don't complain when you're disappointed because you didn't use your voice when you had it. Mm-hmm. And B, you like a man who shows initiative, who's confident, takes charge. That is something that's reciprocal on both sides. Confidence and not determination,
openness,
but like,
maybe.
You know, yeah, it's sexy, you know?
To communicate, to communicate.
Oh, I'm telling you, if you tell me what you want, I won't stop. I'll be like a fucking fountain in the mall, just going all day.
I love that analogy.
Like, tell me what you want, what you really, really, I want to really, really, you know, that's, yes. I might have to add that to like my like sex playlist now.
We're gonna have to start this podcast with that song, because this is all about telling me what you want. It's all about communication. It seems like that's the theme.
Oh, that's a new idea, but that's happening from like the rest of these episodes. Like, you will definitely hear a little snippet of that at the start, because you're right, that's genius.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other? Is there any other like myth or like thing you would love to debunk, what like from like the male perspective? I always think this is such a missed opportunity on the show, is like you have a guy in front of you, like what's something you think like men or could do better that, or you like, why do you guys do what you do?
I mean, I think a lot of guys have this idea that they need to go long and hard in terms of penetrative sex. And I think they minimize the value of the outer course, the foreplay experience. And that I think is problematic for heterosexual relationships because women end up being less satisfied and men end up being, you know, if they don't last really long, then they feel like they didn't do a good job.
And that's so true. Like I said, that's, and that leads to so many issues down the line, performance wise, especially if it's repeated, you know, if there's so much pressure on duration over quality of sex, you know, you're like, well, crap, like I'm, you know, like the term minute man is awful, you know, because it's a limiting factor. It's a limiting label that you put on a person, like, oh, you only have 60 seconds or like one pump chump. Like, and when you hear that enough, or when like somebody expresses that, don't think that that serves as motivation and is going to like, it's like, you know what? Yesterday I was a minute man. Today I'm our guy. Like that's not going to be the way that works. It's not going to be the way that's negative reinforcement does not work in the bedroom.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point, Joshua. I think that if we can really have conversations before we go into the bedroom, then it can feel like we can self-correct behaviors. We can also, I think just taking a positive approach, being able to say, these are the things that I like and desire, and less focus on what you don't like. And then if your partner does end up doing what you don't like, then you have a compassionate conversation about that. But I think that's what holds a lot of people back from being transparent and asking questions about sex, is because it feels humiliating when someone Yes. says something like that, or I mean, got so many women with this hang up about the smell of their vagina, that, you know, there's all these products out there. There's people making comments about that. And come on, it's a self-cleaning oven. This is like the cleanest part of a woman's body is our vaginas. And yet there's all these stories of negativity surrounding that. And people lie about sex, really. I mean, guys brag about it. Women minimize it. The lies go on and on. And so, and you're not getting a lot more accurate information from Google either. So really, people, read some books, follow me on TikTok, go to my website. You can get accurate information that will help you to get what you want sexually and to move past insecurities that are rooted in all this bullshit mythical information that we're getting from Hollywood and porn.
Listen, Liz, I already said it once today, but I'm gonna say it again. I fucking love you. Okay. this has been fun, just like talking, like just actually getting to like unbutton my top two buttons, you know, let the chest breathe and just get this sexual shit off my, you know, off my chest.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna have to like have you back on, and like this might be a reoccurring segment, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many topics that we could talk about. I mean, we can talk about male performance and some specific ways to be able to address performance anxiety. We can talk about getting what you want to more of an extent that's separate from communication, but we could talk about, I don't know, secrets of the female orgasm, whatever you want, man. As long as I got to just be careful to not, what is there a female equivalent to the bro code? Because I can't share all the secrets.
Listen, we don't want all the secrets. We want just about 70%.
Yes.
Listen, the more secrets that we both see, let's, you know, just fuck secrets, okay? Secrets are no fun.
Mm-mm.
Unless they are for everyone. Because the more that we know as men, that means we tell you guys as women, lowers that whole orgasm gap, and then we're just having more pleasure for everybody.
Mm-hmm,
and to
mm-hmm.
me, I think that's the ultimate goal.
Oh, show. Yes. I love that you want to decrease the orgasm gap, because women are not orgasming in those one and done sexual experiences. It takes time for us to
get
to
the next time we meet. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the orgasm gap
mm-hmm.
because I forgot that we were going to talk about that originally, but not enough people are talking about it or educated on it. So I think we should do it.
Yeah,
I think it's our responsibility
mm-hmm.
to tell people.
Like I said, I'm trying to heal the world one bedroom at a time, man. And hopefully this podcast will heal a number of bedrooms in one shot.
Listen, you know, it starts with that baby step, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it takes one person to get a little curious and reach out. And from there, like, it's Aladdin, guys. It's a whole new fucking world. Like, literally, like, you're the world of fucking for you could be completely different just by being a little curious.
Exactly.
But before I let you go, Liz, we have to do a quickie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple questions that help us get to know who is Liz, the sex therapist, as a person, you know? Not as a professional, but as a person.
I am a woman who loves to laugh, who loves to have provocative conversations, who loves friendship and helping people and connection. I love to have intimate conversations with human beings and hear how they're experiencing the world. And that's what is like, for me, if I could just have conversations all day long about people's intimate experience with the world, I would be just like joy, joy, joy. As long as we peppered that with sex.
100%. A little sprinkling of sex here and there never hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
No, but so I like this little segment because hopefully it stimulates our listeners to ask themselves these questions or their partners. But B, I just want to know if people are into the same types of things I'm into, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can find somebody. You can always find somebody that's into the same things as you. You just got to put yourself out there.
Yeah. So, like, I was going to ask, what's like a really big turn on for you? Before that, I like forgot our most basic question.
Yeah.
Liz, are you single? Are you taken? Are you just exploring all the options that are available to you right now?
I am in a relationship and exploring all the options that are out there.
Oh gosh, I love to hear that. Now, what's the really big turn on for you?
A really big turn on. Gosh, I have so many turn ons. And narrowing it down to one is like, you didn't prompt me with this question, Joshua.
Yeah, I know. I like to surprise people.
Because
you know?
I'm always used to asking everybody else what their turn-ons are. I'm not, you're flipping the switch here. Listen. So what is a really big turn-on? Teasing. I love teasing until you are just aching for it.
Do you know what's funny about teasing?
No.
Just mentioning teasing is teasing in itself.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you said that, my body had like an instantaneous like response. And I was like, Josh, we can't stop. Don't go into it. Don't get goaded in. Out of that would be, what's a turn off for you?
A turn off?
Yeah.
Cockiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone who acts like they know it all. If you act like you know it all, then you're not going to be curious about me. And so then there's nothing left for you to explore. And the risk of me getting my desires, needs, wants like met, it's looking pretty unlikely.
You could go back in time and tell your younger self something about sex or relationships. What would that be?
Limit yourself.
That's good. It's simple, sweet, short, but at the same time. Thing that you think that you could do better as a partner, or romantically.
Be more patient. Yeah.
I mean, that's like, I feel like that's like the opposite of teasing, you know?
Maybe that
fits teasing, actually.
That's a good point, Joshua. Yeah.
I have one more. I gotta make this one a good one.
Easy with me. This has been a long show. Be easy with me. This has been a long show.
Oh gosh.
Listeners are getting bored with me already.
I'm not gentle. I like it a little rough. Dirty talk or
so watching. When you say erotica, do you mean watching?
So instead of me like throughout the day, I'm like crafting these like kind of steamy, like trashy, like seductive messages or like notes.
Ooh.
And like leaving them for you.
Oh my God.
Or like I just like send you a voice message, or like in the moment I'm just saying like all these descriptive ways that I want you or I'm gonna do to you.
Like I said, I told my young, if I could tell my younger self something, I would say, don't limit myself. So I'm not choosing one. I'm taking both.
Oh, that's my girl. Guys, it was a loaded question. The answer is always maximize the pleasure.
That's right.
You don't
have
to pick one, okay? I want you to fucking, like from the moment you wake up, I'm preparing you for all the potentials of tonight. And in that moment, I'm going to give you a clear director's cut of what's about to happen. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
If you're not here for that,
you are.
I'm sorry.
The ladies are lining up for you right now, Joshua.
Listen, we're still at general admission. Okay. There's plenty of seats and standing room. Cause your man is single out here. So, just let me know.
Yeah. What's your number? Do they know how to get in contact with you?
Well, I mean, you guys already know my social media. That's the best way. Hop in my DMs.
Okay.
You know, I like a little bit of assertiveness, you know.
Yeah. See their messages to you in your DMs related to this podcast. I'm going to be very curious.
They're interesting. There's never a dull moment within the DMs, I will say that, or the mentions.
Yeah, me neither, but I'm usually laughing.
100%. Like, sometimes I, like, have to read them, like, 2 or 3 times, or, like, I have to show somebody, it's like, did I just imagine this, or is this exactly what this says?
Yeah, I just get confused, because I'll be reading the comments in my TikTok, and I won't know, is this a comment about what I just said, or is it a comment about somebody else's comment about what I just said?
Exactly. Or I was like, are you asking with me? Are you asking me a question? Or are you flirting with me? I don't know. Or is it a little bit of both?
I'm going to have to probe further.
Listen, I love a good probing. But no, before we get you out of here, they need to know where they can find you so they
can,
with themselves or their partners, start unlocking these new levels of intimacy and pleasure and connection.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my website is Talk Sex with Liz. My TikTok is Talk Sex with Liz. That's where I have the most fun. And so you can always get me there. And before I leave, I can't forget to mention that in addition to therapy and coaching, I also offer an online program. It's called Reignite Your Sexual Desire. It's designed specifically for women who want to feel sexually empowered or reignite the sexual desire that they've lost. And it's over the course of 4 weeks. And I provide guidance to women for identifying what they specifically need to change in order to start fueling their desire, stop doing things that extinguish their desire. I give them tools for prioritizing sex and pleasure and help for communicating that desire with their partners. And they get live workshops with me. They get a live office hour every Monday where they can ask me anything, and weekly exercises to help them better understand what fuels and extinguishes desire specifically for them. So all you got to do is you can, if you're interested in learning more, you just go to talksexwithliz.com. And for you guys and women too, of course, you can go to my website to sign up for my newsletter to get juicy tips and advice on a weekly basis. And you can also get my 5 steps to igniting your sex life.
Listen, guys, light that shit up, okay? Like, you're a star in the cosmos. Just like, let your passion burn and your minds grow. Okay?
That's what we're all about.
All right. I will see all you beautiful, sexy, inquisitive people next Thursday for another episode of the Not So Bad Bachelor Pad. And guys, go check Liz out on her website, on TikTok. And I know you're going to hear her voice at least another 2 or 3 times on this podcast, because I won't tell her this, but I'm kind of addicted to her.